Just like a fish without water, just like a man without air, so is the soul without hope, without hope. Everybody was turning with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. There is a big difference between being in Christ and being out of Christ. Between having the blessing of Christ and not having the blessing of Christ. There's a big difference. And in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, "And you were dead." Didn't say you were sick. Didn't say you were troubled. Didn't say you were inappropriate. Didn't say you had problems. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." That's a very, very strong statement. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You know, if this chapter had stopped there, we would all be a good bit depressed and down. That's sad. However, the most beautiful passages of Scripture seems to begin with the word "but." We'd stop there, things would be bad. But, verse 4, "God being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He's loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." Then he says, "By grace you have been saved." I like that. That's not the end of the story to say we're children of wrath. There's something more. God's done something. And He's done something for us. And there is a big difference between being in Christ and being outside of Christ. Having salvation or not having salvation. Being a child of God or not being a child of God. And in fact, as you go through this chapter, he makes this difference really stark. Really stark. Verse 12. He says, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Can you imagine what it would be like to wake up having no hope? Can you imagine facing every day of life having no hope? What he was saying to these Gentiles who had become Christians was, you remember back then, before you became a child of God, before you came into the Lord's church, before you knew who Jesus was and recognized what He did for you, there was a time in which, back in those days, you didn't have any hope. You didn't know you didn't have hope, but you didn't have any hope. You didn't have God. Oh, you had your gods who couldn't do anything for you, your gods which somebody dreamed up, your gods which somebody imagined, not the God who created you, who loves you. The pagan gods were very different from the God of heaven. The people of ancient times lived just to appease those gods, just to keep them happy, because they only knew the wrath of their God. But because of Jesus, God's great love with which He loved us, we have a different kind. We have a God who really cares. Who hears our prayers, who loves us, who sent His Son to die for our sins, who can forgive us. That's a different God than what they have. And so He says in verse 19, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household, God's family." When God looks at you as a Christian, He says, "There's my son. There's my daughter. There's somebody I care about. Somebody who belongs to me. They're one of my own." You're not a stranger to God. You're not an alien. You're not somebody that's over there that doesn't know anything about Him. You're His child and He claims you. And that's what makes being a Christian such a big deal. The hope that we have in Christ. Now we live in dangerous times and times when people have lots of struggles and we wonder about this and we wonder about that. There are folks who are doomsday people saying the world's going to end before long and people saying this and people saying that. And it's really easy for us to begin to think, well, what about what happens if this happens or what happens if that happens? Whenever you are at a situation where life is filled with lots of difficulty, you don't have a lot of hope. when you're worried about the future and what the future may hold, just remember some things. Remember, first of all, that God is still on the throne, that He's never given it up, that the One who created you is still the ruler of the world, that He's still in charge. And there isn't anything that has ever said, there isn't anything that's ever done, there isn't any attitude that anybody possesses that God doesn't know all about it. He's aware of your struggles. And He's aware of your heart. Oh yes, God is still on the throne. When you think things are all lost and there's nothing there, just remember that God still works through His Word. And His Word is still powerful. There is something about the Word of God, the Bible, that is so amazing about its ability to prick hearts and to move lives and to do things that you can't see anything else doing. God's Word is powerful. It's living and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, and the Word of God is still able to prick hearts and move people and to help them to come to know the truth and to love the truth. When you think all is lost, just remember that Jesus Christ is still coming again, that there will be a second coming. Every eye will see Him, even those that pierced Him. They'll see Him when He comes. There will be a shout. There will be the voice of the archangel. There'll be the trumpet of God. When He comes, everybody will know it. Everybody. He's going to set things right. Yes, He'll set things right. When you think all is lost, just remember that the gospel still has the power to save. It has a great power to give us clean conscience, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us joy, to give us the truth, and to give us love. Oh, that's the power of the gospel. When you think all is lost, just remember that prayer still reaches the ear of the Father. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's a promise of God. God still hears and He still knows. And you can still speak to Him. I tell you what, if I picked up the phone and I wanted to call the new governor of the state of Oklahoma, he might answer and he might not. Probably not. If I wanted to call and talk to my senator, I doubt he'd want to hear what I had to say. There are a whole lot of folks that probably will never hear us and don't really want to hear us. But God's not one of them. Doesn't make any difference how busy you think God is. God has time. Doesn't matter who you are. God has time. God has an ear for your prayer because you are His child. You're His son. You're His daughter. You're not like the rest of the world. You're family. He has time for family. When I think all is lost, I remember that there are still 7,000 who have never bowed the knee to Baal. Sometimes I hear people talk about, oh, the church is going out of existence. It's not. It's not. It's still strong. Yes, there are problems to the left and there are problems to the right and there are problems here and there are problems there. But there have always been problems. But there will always be people who love the Lord and who will do what is right. You know what? They're still with us. I hear from people all over the country who still want to do what's right, who still love the Lord. And I meet young people, and I meet older people, and I meet people in the prime of life, and they still love the Lord and they want to do what's right. And I'm thankful for that. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You know, when you read the Bible, if you're not reading your Bible regularly, you're really hurting yourself. You're making a mistake. There is something in the Bible that is not only the truth, but is also something that builds hope. You think your problems are unique to you? No, no way. Our problems are very common to all of us. And you know what? Whenever you look at your life and the things that you're facing, there's somebody who's faced that same problem before. That's why we have hope when we read the Scripture. When I think about various problems and I think about how bad the world is, I remember Noah. My Noah's day, God looked down at the world and every thought of man was only evil continually. We don't have it that bad. We do have some good thinking people today. Oh, there's lots of evil in the world, but there's a lot of good in the world too. But you know what? He faced it and he faced it with faith. God blessed him and was with him. You know what? God will be with us if we'll have that same kind of confidence in Him. Maybe you've got a problem. I remember a young fella who had a 9'9" problem. But God was with him. God was with him. David slew Goliath, not the other way. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God can be with His people. And even when we think things are so large and so insurmountable that there's no hope at all, if God is on our side, we're always the victor. We're always the one in charge. We're always the one ahead. There isn't any problem that you will ever face today, tomorrow, or at any time in your life that God and you cannot handle together. That God can bless you and help you and give you the strength that you need and give you the confidence and the faith and the trust that things are going to work out. Yes, things will work out. When you think all is lost, you think you're all by yourself, remember Elijah. Elijah ran off. He was so afraid because of the threat of Jezebel. Ran all the way down there and God finally talked to him with a still small voice. And reminded him, look, there's a whole bunch of folks who still love the Lord. Who haven't bowed to me today. When you think you need to run off and you're all by yourself, you're not all by yourself. Sometimes people think, oh, people can't change. The way they are, people just can't change. We can't do anything about it. Do you remember Nineveh? Do you remember the message of Jonah? 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's a pretty short sermon. Here was Jonah coming into a foreign city, preaching to people he didn't like. They may not have liked him. But he had a message. You'll remember that from the king all the way down, even the animals had dust. They repented. And God relented. Sometimes people say, well, things are so bad, I don't see how they can get any worse. And I remember Job. Now, there's a guy who was in a world of hurt. Lost all of his children. All 10 of them. Lost all of his possessions. Had only a few servants. Even his wife told him, curse God and die. Here was a man who was afflicted with a disease where he hurt all day long. This was long before there were any hospitals. Sat there with boils all over his body and he would scrape them with a potsherd. He was so hurting so badly he wished he had never been born. Why couldn't I have died as a baby? Yet, when you read the end of the book of Job, Job begins to see God as He really is. God blesses him. God's with him. God helps him. I want to say something here. You might be in the midst of some struggle that's so difficult. But you know what? Just like in the book of Job, there's another chapter. The last chapter hasn't been written. The last chapter hasn't been written when Job is suffering so much. When you begin to get to chapter 42 and you see what God has done for Job, then you begin to see that God was with him all along, even through the tough times, and never forgot him. You know what? There may be a last chapter in your life too. You may get to the point where you think, oh, how could things get any worse? But I'm telling you, there's something more in this world than what we see right now. There's something more than what's happening today. There is a time ahead whenever God will bless us. It may not even be in this life, it may be in the next life. And I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, where he talks about how that the momentary problems of this time are not worthy to be compared. All these troubles and anxieties and difficulties are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us, Romans 8 and verse 18. And I think about those kinds of things that are taking place. Sometimes we walk through a valley where it seems like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? David walked through that valley, not to that valley, through that valley. Sometimes people say, well, why am I even here? I remember as a young preacher hearing a person or two say that to me. Why am I even here? And I suppose as you look back in ancient times, you might look at a Moses. You could wonder, well, why am I here? You know, grew up in Pharaoh's household and then that accident, he killed a man and ran and fled and he spent all that time out in there and wondering why he was here, and God was preparing him and getting him ready for a great work. And sometimes we don't see that. I think about Joseph and his brothers hated him even more, and they were wanting to kill him, and they ended up selling him into slavery and told their daddy a lie. And he went down and he worked as a slave for a while, and then he went into prison for a while, but the Lord was with him and God used him. Told his brothers one time, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Genesis chapter 50. What I'm saying to you is sometimes we wonder, well, why does this happen? Why does that happen? And we may not be able to see the answer today or tomorrow, but the time will come
looking back when we can begin to see how God was shaping us and molding us and preparing us for things far beyond anything that we could imagine, far beyond anything that we could know. Hope is that confident expectation or belief in the fulfillment of something that we desire. It takes our present hurts and uncertainty over the future and creates within our hearts and within our souls this need for hope that there is something better than what we can see today, something more than what we know right now. And all of us have this desire, all of us have this hope where we long for something that's better than what's here and now. Whenever we have trouble, we hope for relief. Whenever we are in war, we hope for peace. Whenever we are in sin, we hope for forgiveness. Whenever we are in pain, we hope for comfort. Whenever we are facing death, we hope for eternal life. Hope is so important to the soul and to the life of all of us. And hope isn't merely expecting something. It's a confident thing. It knows it's going to happen. Hope is part of walking by faith and knowing that God's promises are true and that He will bring about what He said He would. That He assures us and that the Bible is true and that you can count on His promises. That you can count on His love and that you can count on God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul has a prayer beginning in verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Now, if we could grasp that, if we could grasp how great His power is towards us who believe, what there is beyond this life, it would make so much difference to us. And he says, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now here is a fellow who was crucified. Here was a fellow who was shamed to the uttermost in front of everybody. Somebody who was a good man who was treated terribly. And you would think, where's the hope? Where's the hope? But God raised Him from the dead. And you know what? If God has the power to raise Jesus from the dead, He has the power to work in you and in me and with you and with me and do things far beyond anything that we can imagine. Yes, He has that power. And I think sometimes we forget how great and how wonderful our God is and what He can do. And there are times when we need to open the eyes of our hearts, like He said, enlightening the eyes of your heart, to open them up so that we can have access to our Father and enjoy the surpassing greatness of His power and His blessing. We can hope in our calling because He has called us through the gospel. We answered that call. And for that reason, we become chosen. We become His children. Jesus is our hope. And that really is the message all week. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior and of Christ Jesus. And then he says, Christ Jesus, who is our hope? And He is. And when you and I are at our lowest, Christ is our hope. When we are at our darkest, He is our light. When we are our weakest, He is our strength. And when we are at our most mournful, sad selves, He is our comfort. He's with us. When life becomes painful, there are times when we really need hope. One of my favorite people, someone I'm studying quite a bit this year, is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the second longest single book of the Bible. I guess if you added Samuel and Kings and Chronicles together, it might be longer. But other than Psalms, Jeremiah is the longest book of the Bible. And Jeremiah went through so much over a 40-year period of preaching. While he had a little help during those early years, as time went by, things got worse and worse, and he suffered a lot of persecution at the hands of ungodly leaders and priests, false prophets, and others. And he's known as the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations, which is just weeping out loud. And I think about his life and how people opposed him and ignored him. Imagine preaching for 40 years and nobody ever hearing what you had to say. And yet, he kept preaching. The people of Israel at that time had abandoned God for the pagan gods in the nations around them. Yes, they still had prophets.
These prophets said, oh, everything's okay, and winked at sin and let the people do what they wanted to do, telling them everything would be okay when they weren't okay. Jeremiah's message was, God's going to punish us one of these days. And the people didn't want to hear that. Kind of reminds you of folks today who don't want to hear that sinful things are sin. Things that are bad. We need to give them up. And we need to stop them. We need to change our ways. People don't like to hear that. And yet Jeremiah knew that even though people didn't want to hear it, he had to preach it. He had a fire in his bones even when he was weary of holding it in. That he just had to let it out again and tell people what God wanted him to do. But you know what? Jeremiah teaches us two things about a hostile culture. First of all, Jeremiah watched the destruction of Jerusalem. He watched it. He saw Nebuchadnezzar come not once, not twice, but three times into the city, and the third time to tear it completely down, destroy even the temple. Oh, he had predicted the temple would fall, and people didn't believe it, but it did. Here was somebody who lived in that area all of his life, and now everything he knew when he was a boy growing up was gone. People were killed and taken into exile. The city was destroyed. When he writes the book of Lamentations, 5 chapters, there's a lot of sadness there. But in the middle of that book, chapter 3, there is a passage that even our young people know, but they do not know where it came from. Lamentations 3, verse 21. Jeremiah said, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Then he said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. To me, it's such an amazing thing that a broken-hearted man could still find his hope in Christ, his hope in God, his hope that the Lord will keep His promise. And yet Jeremiah did. What an example that is for us. God also told Jeremiah, you know, the people are going to come back to this area one of these days. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10, he says the Jews will return to Jerusalem. And he says, what I want you to do is go and buy you a field from your cousin in Anathoth. Anathoth was only a few miles from Jerusalem. I want you to go and buy that field, and I want you to seal the deed in an earthen jar. Because you know what? One of these days, that deed will still be there. And houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Jeremiah 32 and verse 15. It's very easy at times for us only to look at what is all around us and miss that God has a plan, that there is something more down the road that we haven't seen. Now, hard times happen to all of us, and I'm no exception. In the last 5 years, my wife lost her grandmother, who lived to be 105. I lost my co-worker, Mac Wine, and I lost my mother, who was 1 month shy of me. During that same 5 years, my wife went to the hospital a couple of times. Once with blood clots, she was nearly going to die. A couple of times because she had the flu and nobody knew it. And she was only a breath away from dying. In more recent years, besides her rheumatoid arthritis, she has neuropathy, she's developed asthma, many, many other troubles. I'll go home in a couple of weeks and she'll have cataract surgery on one eye and 2 weeks later on the other. And I've had my own struggles. And I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is to have pain. But I also know what it is for God to be with you and God to help you. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, and we know, not we think, not we hope or might happen. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't say that everything that happens is good, but it does say that God can cause it for good. You know, sometimes we make that mistake. God is able to take even the worst things and make good out of them. Sometimes we think, well, if God doesn't keep me from every problem of my life, He doesn't love me. That's not true. Because God also takes the problems of our lives and turns them into good. And if we didn't have the problems, we wouldn't have the good that comes with them. And why do we think that the power of God is somehow less because He takes what's troublesome and makes good out of it, that has somehow He's forgotten us? If we don't stop all problems to begin with, I tell you what, we'd have an awful, spoiled, troubled people with no character
if there were never any struggles and problems in this life. But what God does is take that and with His power, takes those troubles and those struggles and those difficulties and those challenges and makes something good out. That's where the power of God really comes out and is so powerful. I'm thankful for the hope of heaven. I'm thankful for the hope of forgiveness. I'm thankful for the hope of prayer. I'm thankful for the hope that is in the gospel. Now, we get letters all the time from people who live in states that you wouldn't think about. They're certainly not in the Bible Belt. But people write and say, we saw your program. We heard what you said. Got a letter from a guy in Tennessee the other day. And he says, I was watching the program and I decided he lived in one place and he went over to a church in Morristown, Tennessee, and he said, I was baptized. People do hear the gospel. People do listen to it. It does make a difference. There was a fellow who had gone to every church he knew about over in Atlanta. Georgia is not a strong place for him. Lived in Atlanta. And he'd been to this church and he'd been to that church. And he says, I knew there was something wrong. He said, then I caught you on TV and I heard the gospel. And he said, I came. It's not me. It's the gospel that has the power. Let's make it very clear. I'm not talking so much about what I do. I'm talking about the power of the gospel. What it can do in the lives of people and how it can make a difference. That man was baptized and so was his wife and so was his best friend because they had heard. You know what? When people hear the word of God and they believe it and they're willing to change their lives and leave the old way and come to the new way, they're baptized. God washes away their sins and helps. And that's the hope that we have. And that's what makes a difference. And it's because we can look at Jesus and say, you know, if God could raise Jesus from the dead, you know what? He could work in my life too. If God could do those things, He could help me. And what the prayer of Paul was, is that our eyes would be opened to have hope, to know that God can do great things in us, through us, with us, if we will let Him. God can transform your life if you will let Him, but you have to let Him do it. You have to. Is that the end or do I have 5 minutes?
No, you got 5 minutes.
Okay. I never know because there's always 2 bells or 1 bell. And it's different everywhere I go. I think about individuals that I've known who changed their lives. People who used to be one way and became another. I remember reading something from John Newton. And I don't have a good quote of what John Newton actually said, but through the years, that quotation has evolved. And I even have my own version of it. And it's like this. He says, I'm not all I ought to be. And I'm not, just a word. I'm not all I ought to be. I'm not all I want to be. I'm not all I'm going to be. But thank God, by His mercy and His grace, I'm not what I used to. You know what? We can change. We don't have to be stuck in the past with an old kind of life that we despise, we're ashamed of. We can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God can do in your life and in my life to make a big difference. And a lot of it has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are living with Him and loving Him and staying close to Him, and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're worshiping regularly and you're being the kind of person God wants you to be, God can work in you, through you, and with you. But if you shut Him out, if you ignore Him, you're missing out on the greatest thing in the whole. That's a life of hope. He can bring you joy. He can bring you peace. He can bring you a clear conscience. He can bring you love. He can bring you the truth, and He can bring you hope. When you have all of those things in Christ, you have something really, really wonderful. But there is a big difference between being in Christ and being out. Now, we're going to have a gospel meeting this week. You know that. There are people that you know that I don't know. Invite them. Invite them to come this week. I'm going to make a promise to you, and that is that during this week, I'm going to preach my heart out. I'm going to preach with every fiber of my being. You have an opportunity tonight at 6, and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7, to invite your friends and invite them. When you invite them, I want you to invite them as if heaven and hell depended upon it. Because one day it might, or it will.
When you invite them, I want you to beg them. I want you to beg them as if the Lord Jesus Christ were begging and pleading through you, because He is. And when you invite them, I want you to invite them as if nothing else in the whole world mattered. Because one day, nothing else in the whole world will matter except whether or not they are right with the living God and have hope in Him. So I'm going to ask you to invite them, and I'll make you a promise that I'll preach my heart. We're going to have a great gospel meeting. Let's end our time. Oh Lord, bless this congregation. Bless us and be with us. Bless this meeting this week. Help each of us to shine bright the way of God. Give us strength. Give us faith. And Father, we pray that the doors of people's hearts will be opened, that they will not only come to hear the Word of God, but they will love it and be obedient. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.